when you realize you're dealing with the same spirit. It's one spirit. I mean, all across the world is one spirit. You know, and it's amazing. You may run into somebody that don't even speak the same language as you, but your spirit testify with his or hers, you know. So that's what it's all about. It's a worldwide movement. Christ is gathering his church. And we've been trying to, you know, sharpen up our ministering. You know, we minister as a team in the body of Christ.
Amen.
But we're going to pick up in that second paragraph on page 95. Before we do, though, let's bow our heads. We have a word of prayer.
Thank you, Lord.
Heavenly Father,
yes, Lord.
I thank you, Lord, for your protection over these holidays, over this last year, over my lifetime, Lord. Thank you for keeping us, Lord, for keeping us in our right mind, Father. We don't take that for granted, Lord. It's so many, Father, who don't have a sound mind, Lord. Your word tells us to be thankful for all the gifts. All good and perfect gifts come from you, Lord. And we thanking you right now for all that you do for us, Lord, for all that you allow us to do, Lord, for health, for strength, Father. Father, for a willingness to get up this morning and come into the house of God, Father. We know it. That was all you, Lord. That was all you. You woke us this morning, Father. There's so many, Father. We've testified it this morning about deaths over the last 2-3 days, Lord. So we know it could have been us, Lord. Could have went the other way. And if you left us here, Father, it's for your purpose. It's to do your will, Lord. Now, you strengthen us in those areas, Father. Lord, we ask you to bless the ones who are on the way. Grant them safe passage, Lord. Bring them here with that same mind, with that one spirit, Lord. The Holy Spirit, Father, to bring praise to your honorable name, Lord. Lord, I ask you to help me this morning. Decrease me, Father, and increase your Holy Spirit within me, Father. And we'll be so mindful to give you the praise, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. All right, page 95, y'all, second paragraph. It says, sometimes the nominating committee encounters obstacles of various sorts in their ongoing quest to keep all positions filled and to make sure all slots are taken care of. Sometimes after numerous meetings leading up to annual elections or approval list, or however, you know, certain people do it, several places on the list remain blank. For instance, no name to put beside the sixth grade boys class. After several courageous recruitment attempts with likely persons, after praying, pleading, pursuing, publishing the need in the church newsletter, and placing the plea before the entire church from the pulpit, after discussing options for the workers, teach one quarter, 1 month, or 1 week. The nominating committee admits we may have to present an incomplete list of names of workers at the annual election or approval session. This is the way some people did. Y'all see, this is getting somewhat cookie cutter, somewhat business oriented, the way they do things. And yeah, you know, and it's my humble opinion that the Holy Spirit should be leading all this period, you know, and not saying that it's not even these instances, but this is something that God already made the structure. He's already created the body. So all we're to do is to follow his instruction. All right. While all the efforts expended are appreciated, and the motive behind the efforts are commendable and honorable, the nominating committee, charged with the responsibility to keep all positions filled and to make sure all slots are taken care of, feels a sense of severely limited success as 92 names are presented for approval. But 5 spots have no name. Somewhere, sometime in the process, it seems the goal shifts from serving the Lord among his people to filling in the blanks on the list. That's the problem right there. That could be a distraction. When you get so into that, you distract them from the word of God. And that's where the damage come in, family. I said, now, to be sure, the sixth grade boys do not need a teacher, leader, shepherd, perhaps. However, there is a better way to identify the potential candidate and to offer the opportunity of service to the person that has been practiced in many cases. Lifelift suggests that this approach which has been practiced within churches for many years, has been effective in some ways and not so effective in other ways. One of the most obvious problems of the approach which has been taken involves the fact that the church operates according to the basic procedures of secular organizations. That's real good. That's a big part of our problem, that the outside has infiltrated the church. That's a big part of it now. Right? The secular organizations which are limited to functioning on a natural basis. The body of Christ is a spiritual entity. It's a spiritual entity, y'all. And when we're operating in the natural, we're out of bounds. Way out of bounds. That's right, an organism. One must keep in mind the complete uniqueness of the church in the plain and purpose of God. The church, the body of Christ, should seek to operate in the realm of God's ultimate intention for the church, which is the realm of the supernatural. How do you do that in the natural? You can't do it. You can't do it. It's a spiritual thing, y'all. This distinction makes one of the heart of the thesis of the Life Lived Venture. All individuals and churches are directed to be responsible to God in all three areas which have been discussed, and that's instructional, natural, and supernatural. Y'all get that? It's that we directed to be responsible to God in all these areas. And the supernatural is what God seeks for his body. Therefore, operating in the natural and meeting certain qualifications, forget about if you God sent, if you called of God. You done put your standards ahead of God's standards. Now you in trouble. You done got yourself in some muddy water. The situation of the sixth grade boys needing a teacher illustrates this point. Generally speaking, the nominating committee, operating according to basic principles of good organization, looks at the natural aspects of a person. Like male or female, young or old, energetic or sedate, seeming interest or lack of interest in a given age group, talents of a natural nature, and so forth. Often, the observable commitment of obedience to the instructions of God by the person are not discussed or sometimes not considered to be the business of anybody but the person. Hardly ever in the past has the nominating committee considered whether or not this person has a supernatural endowment from God, a spiritual gift. So now, if that hadn't factored in, you don't qualify no way. God called got to be one of the criteria. What you got, bro? I already got what you got. All right.
You can't call no, even an organist or a piano. Without finding out what these people say.
Right. That's right.
I mean, you should have a committee. I mean, the brothers should sit down and talk with this guy and or the woman, whoever it is, and listen to it. Do they have a testimony?
Yes,
you know, but they go based on talent.
Talent, strictly talent.
I don't care whether they saved or unsaved. That's a problem. Yeah.
It's a very big problem, Pastor. And we can see it in our pulpits now. Most of a lot of our preachers, especially in the black church, y'all, and I hate to keep harping on that, but we choosing good orators and people who speak well. You know, and like Pastor said, not testing the spirit. Now you following a shepherd who's leading you into damnation. Into condemnation because you didn't spiritually discern whether this person was sent from God, saved. That's right. That's a big problem, y'all. That's right. They've made it more of an occupation than a call from God. Except for instance, ministry, teaching, exhortation, encouragement, and challenge, leading, mercy. Helps, evangelism, shepherding, speaking, and or hospitality could all be useful to build young lives. Begin with the nominating committee and extending to the entire committee structure of the church, a shift in approach seems to be appropriate and is recommended. In order to achieve this adjustment, the church membership as a whole, at least as many who will, should consider a process of analysis. Discovery and development of spiritual gifts. Y'all know where that comes through? That comes through discipleship.
Right, right.
That comes through discipleship. If you're discipling and you're involved with the body of Christ, your gifts will come forth. They will manifest. They will manifest. And you give the body of Christ something tangible to go by. You know, the spirit should have already been tested whether you're saved or not, as far you and from a person's talk. It's a good clue. That's a great clue on whether a person has met the risen Savior. Yes. All right. Whenever a sufficient percentage, or whatever the church leaders feel to be sufficient, have completed the process of analysis and discovery and are ready for the process of continued development, the next step may be taken. Of course, none of this should happen without much advance notice and acceptance in times of true embracement by the body. Recall that life lived takes the action of the body seriously. But with embracement by the body, the reference words to which many have become so accustomed may be adjusted. The word adjustment and shift may be used because adjustments and shifts seem to be much easier for most people to handle than do changes. A lot of people don't like changes when it comes to church. That tradition is steeped in the church. Won't welcome change. When change is needed, much needed. They're just down the vine because of this, what mama and them did. That's a shame. They're down the vine as if times don't change. You know, the traditional nominating committee can become the Christian Education Ministry Council, while the traditional committee on committees can become the Church Administration Ministry Council. The Christian Education Ministry Council may be charged with the ministry of identification and coordination of the Christian education needs. Y'all hear all this? The Christian education needs of the church as related to Sunday school, discipleship training, mission organization, and the like. The Church Administration Ministry Council, see, that's too much. We can't keep up with the groups, huh? May be charged with the ministry of identification and coordination of the various administrative ministries of the church. I'm just lost, y'all. I'm lost. How about just do it God way?
There you go.
Right there.
It max 120.
And everybody else were members of that congregation. There was at times he had as many as 5, 6, 10,000 following him. But now we talking about saved people here, members of the body of Christ. It was never a whole big group of them. Not to say he can't build a big group. That's not what we're saying. But we're saying it takes discernment to truly discern not who's saved and who not, but who's obeying the word of God. That's all we can figure out. That's right. That's right. And we're seeing that today. It's the bread. It's the bread they're following for today.
Amen.
The traditional. Okay. in light of these adjustments, in order to be consistent in the shift for organizational orientation to orientation as an organism, additional wording adjustments seem to be appropriate. Whether the name of the group who serve in administrative ministry area committees, which is basically an organizational term, the term ministry team is suggested as a potentially helpful adjustment. The finance committee can become the finance ministry team. The building and grounds committee can become the building and grounds or even church facilities ministry. Wow, team. The person, you know, when you got all these different teams, does that not give y'all a feeling of separation?
Yeah.
Huh?
Right.
You got all these different groups going on inside the body of Christ. That's division, people. That's division and competition and all the rest of it. Unhealthy stuff in the body of Christ. Unity, unified. That's right. It's about unity. Absolutely. Absolutely. Big old me and little old you. See, that calls schism in the body. They're called schism in the body. And we teach and preach it all the time.
Yeah.
No one person is any important, any greater than anybody else in the body of Christ.
Right. But Tony, you that word supernatural has been mentioned a couple of times here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they say the kids can't understand, so they need to be in the class. But isn't this a supernatural thing that's happening here?
It is.
God supernaturally touch kids and help kids to understand.
Absolutely he can. And we don't give the kids enough credit. They understand a lot of time much better than we do. I'm telling you, that's why you can't catch them on these cell phones and all that. We don't give them enough credit when it comes to what they can comprehend and can't. These are just confusing. Yeah. Yeah. These adjustments can be made throughout the organized life of the church.
Please.
The basic philosophical purpose should be stated and restated so that all may come to understand. Good luck. The church or the body of Christ is a living organism. You don't have to have all them different associations and groups to be identified. That's what the body of Christ is. It ain't got nothing to do with all these different organizations in the body. It's a living organism regardless. The unique living organism has a mission of ministry within the world. The church is an organism, must be organized. However, organization does not ultimately define the church. Terms that allude to organizational structure may be adjusted for the purpose of focus and as a reminder of the ministry mission of the church. Committees sometimes seem to focus more on meetings for meetings' sake or simply for preservation of organizational structure. Ministry team, see, if our number one objective isn't to preach the gospel, to spread the gospel, because that's the only, we know that's the only thing that saves. We know that. And the only thing that is we just said is a spiritual thing. And the word of God is what convicts and touches the soul. If we're concerned about the soul of man, preaching the gospel got to be first and foremost on our list.
People get organization confused with unity.
Okay.
Organization is not unity.
That's good.
There's a difference. And I think as long as we're organizing or feel as if we're organizing, we think we're unified, and it's not the same.
That's good. That's real good. One of them is truly a business term. It's a business term. Organization. That's a business term. We should never look at the church as an organization. It's a family. It's the family of God. It's a total different thing, y'all. Terms that allude to organizational structure may be adjusted for the purpose of focus and reminding the ministry and mission of the church. Committees, we say they some philosophically and practically. Come on down to the third line. Philosophically and practically, ministry terms ideally come together as components of a living organism. The church, for the purpose of ministering. Ideally, persons are offered an opportunity to serve by fellow believers or one of the ministry councils, according to the areas of their spiritual gifting, supernatural area. Look, when you're saved, when you give your life, you commanded to serve from that point on, period. You ain't waiting on no man to tell you how to serve. That's right. If nothing else, you God gave you a testimony of salvation. And it's your job to spread your testimony, period. And if you don't have a testimony, people, let's do like the apostle said, examine yourself. Examine yourself. What you got, Roy?
I truly believe that when it comes to business and organization, that the blood of Christ and the body of Christ and the people in Christ, oh, he brings it all together and it comes out you and it truly flows. So I can see it flow out of my church all the time. Hey, one for us, it's just when you have it and it's our faith. That's in Christ. It all comes out.
All right. Yeah, it do. That's what it's all about, Roy. Spread. That's what we just
right
said.
It got. So I might as well tell y'all and let y'all know. Hey, it's all of us together in the body of Christ, and Christ. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's an amazing man.
He is. He's God. Right, in line with their talents and desires, we talking about supernatural thing, gifting, supernatural gifting. In line with their talents and desires, that's the natural. And because of their demonstrated faithful obedience to God, that's instructional. See, all that go together, y'all. You got to obey God. That's first and foremost. Obedience to God is what brings forth those gifts and those supernatural. You might be very talented. A lot of people talented. Most people have some talent. Period. So that's nothing to jump up and do flips about. But are you saved? Are you saved? That's the question. I started a plan of ministry by teams of willing servants seem to reflect the scriptural design rather well. The adjustments recommended above are charted below for reference purposes. They got nominating committees and, you know, all these different councils. We read them. I don't even want my head hurting from the last time. But the bottom paragraph says, of course, each local church, because each local church is an expression of the body of Christ, can decide best which ministries are needed in that particular church. That's what it's all about. Let Christ build a church.
Amen.
Where he shows there's a need, feel that need. As the body of Christ, we should feel the need shown to us by our Lord. Whether it be helping individuals, helping in the structural building, helping in the evangelist get outreach, whatever. Just feel that need. Each church has a personality that all her own, under God, should be encouraged to seek, to experience, and follow God in ministry. That's team ministry. That's team ministry. When a church does what it does faithfully in an effort to do what God desires, the church will bear fruit. And God will be pleased and God glorified. That's the purpose. That's what we're shooting at right there. That's right, sister. That's the name of the game. Glorify God. Glorify God. And when we're obedient to God and see fruit, fruit in our effort, souls being saved, that's the fruit God looking for. He ain't worried about how much money you can get in the treasury. You don't care nothing about none of that. It's about fruit. People coming to God. We know it's his desire that all be saved. Although we know it won't happen, but that's his desire. So that should be our desire as well. That every man be saved.
This is something I want you to know too, Tony. See, a lot of people feel left out when you got the choir and you got the singing going on and this and that going on. And because you don't make it well known for real. You're supposed to let them in too. You see what I'm saying? And wearing all the little fancy clothes or we got the weavers and we that. That's not church. That's not glorifying the body of Christ. When you glorify the body of Christ, everybody is in.
Yeah. We just do it the way the Bible say. The Bible don't stress putting no emphasis on clothes, on first and foremost. That's it. When you keep first things first, everything else falls in place.
You can't sing 2 hours and then preach 15 minutes.
That ain't balanced, is it?
There's something wrong with that picture. Right?
That is not balanced.
He's long and shouted for 2 hours and then he got about 15 minutes.
That's right.
There's something wrong with that picture. Though.
Well, that's why most folk, by the time the message comes, they be asleep. They tired. They've been jumping and running and holding folk down and covering folk up and they tired. By the time the preacher get up, and they wore out.
they couldn't make it to Wednesday night Bible study because they had Tuesday night choir rehearsal.
That's too much, ain't it?
Yeah, they were wore out from Tuesday.
That's too much, ain't it? It might just be me, people, but why do I feel like I'm always cheating God? I don't care how much I did. It can be every day. It can be Monday through Friday. I still feel like I'm cheating. I ain't doing enough. There's something else I ought to be doing.
Well, I need to take 3 hours with you today, Tony. I need to see whether you alto or soprano.
I'm going to save you them 3 hours. Come on, bro. How about you got in the room for Squealer? I'm a Squealer. Come on.
You saying that reminds me of what a guy at church asked me about was we coming to church, and I told him, yeah. And he was saying how his church wasn't meeting for church.
At all.
but all the deacons was having a meeting about not meeting. And he was saying, you're telling me that we can't meet for church, and we'd have been here 3 hours talking about not meeting for church. And it's just what Pastor said, that he made a good point that we're concerned about COVID and masks, but we didn't sit here for 3 hours talking about how we're going to go about not meeting for church.
Yeah.
Well, we could just meet for church.
Could have been meeting for church. And now, you know, that's a sad thing, family, because just think about it. For all these years, we've known, the Bible plainly states and warns us of the enemy, Satan, that great dragon, wanting to destroy the body of Christ. We've been hearing about that all of our church life, about how Satan would love to stop the church from meeting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And all it takes is a virus to shut down a whole bunch of churches. This is the time when they should be running over. It should be folk. They should be breaking the roof in like they did when Christ. They should be breaking to get in the church now.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's totally the opposite. Yeah. So what it shows us is, it shows a lack of saved folk, too. I mean, just being honest now, we got to, he said to try the spirit by the spirit.
But we know that this thing is real, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, we know that when a deaf angel rolled through Egypt, God protected Goshen.
That's right.
We know that, huh?
That's right.
No Christian lost their lives in Goshen. But the deaf angel came through there.
Yes.
People died like flies over on the other side of town over there. God can protect the people. We got to believe God.
Right.
We got to pray and believe God. But at the same time, now, I'm not saying run into no crowd.
No, no.
That you know infected. I'm not saying. I ain't praying at all.
Let me ask y'all this then. Why is it that Christians are so afraid of death?
Okay. Well, that's a good question. Man.
Very good question. Why is that? That's the part I don't understand. Not that I'm ready to go nowhere, y'all, but I truly believe with all my heart when I leave here, I'm going to be with my Lord.
Yeah.
I'm truly going to be with the Lord. Ain't no doubt in my mind.
Right.
I ain't in no hurry.
No.
But I ain't afraid. Come on, Mama, then we'll get you. Dad, well, good question. Another good question. One more time, then you, Roy.
That's exactly what I was going to say with Dorothy. And another thing, a lot of these churches aren't getting paid. The true word of God. Because if they were, they'd be like the big church in California with MacArthur.
Yeah, they'd be standing, wouldn't they? They'd be standing.
And if the people want to come, they come.
That's right.
And the people came.
Yeah.
Pay. They're getting paid.
Pay.
The truth in the word of God.
Right.
They don't fear death. They don't fear this virus,
that's
like
right.
Pastor said.
No,
because God got.
That's right.
And that ain't talking about being stupid, you know.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
But you got your faith and trust in the Lord.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. We ain't going licking grocery baskets at Walmart or nothing, but ain't no need in operating in fear, y'all. Come on, bro.
Well, y'all done chopped it up real good.
Go on, put a bow on it then, Roy.
Supernatural and the power and the faith of God. And
yes.
When you was in the faith of God,
yes.
And as you say, you building the body of Christ, I feel like y'all my personal family.
That's right.
And now when you like this, Tony, you even say it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, why do you don't feel like you doing enough? It's because the supernatural and the power and the way God works,
mm-hmm.
and his power, hey, it keeps you like that and keep you safe.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And when you sleep at night, hey, power of God is something else, and the power of Jesus is something else, and that supernatural spirit that's on the side of you, that glorifies you. Hey, you can't understand it anyway, but you know you got to do something for God.
All the time, bro, all the time.
That's your faith.
Yeah.
That's your knowledge.
That's it. That's it. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. We know that. We know that. He want to know if he going to find faith when he comes.
How can you not do or want to do and feel like you haven't done enough? I mean, I ain't the best in the world, but I want y'all to know right now, I believe, and that's my belief in my faith.
Praise God, praise God. I pay 98, family. We're on chapter 11, and this is going to be an overview. Category charts and the Christ. The Christ. The Christ. It ain't but one. There's only one. Now, if y'all got any of the podcast last week, you know there's a lot of counterfeit. There's a bunch of counterfeit Christ. And y'all, when you go to the grocery store, pick up an extra can of beans or something. I believe we're going to have to help our pastor out before this all over with. But just grab an extra can of beans or something, and you know. But it's going to be all right. He ain't worried. See, that way. He ain't worried. All right, categories. Categories. Before considering definition and descriptions, an overview of the groupings of spiritual gifts may prove to be beneficial. Various groupings have been offered by numerous authors in an attempt to assist seekers in the discovery process. Awareness of possible groupings of gifts may provide a better informed understanding of how the gift can complement each other in a biblically functioning community of believers. If the gifts are not bringing glory to God, lifting up the name of Jesus, they're in vain. They're useless. That's what the gift, our gifts should work together to glorify, to edify the name of Jesus, y'all. That's what they for. This awareness further validates the team ministry concept discussed in chapter 10, the one we just had finished with. The purpose of suggesting potential categories for the various gifts should not become an attempt to set human limits based on finite human understanding of the dynamic power of God. That's a big problem. We have humanized Christ, y'all. We've humanized Christ. If we can't understand it, it must not be so. That's the big part of our problem. That is no faith at all. Talking about a lack of faith. You put God in a box. You've limited what he can do. At the very least, you said you know what he can do. And you don't know nothing. I don't know nothing. All we know is to trust God for whatever the situation might be. So, however, an outline of the gifts which are identified in the scripture increases our comprehension of the interrelated, interdependent nature of the gifts. Various lists have been presented by numerous authors according to their personal theological perspective. Dunn and Katie Fortune delineate three categories of gifts in Discover Your God-Given Gifts. That's a writing they had. The manifestation gifts. Nine listed from 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. The ministry gifts is five listed from Ephesians 4 and 11. The motivational gifts is seven listed from Romans 12, 6 through 8. Leslie Flynn categorized three groups as well in 19 gifts of the Spirit. Speaking, apostleship, prophecy, evangelism, pastoring, teaching, exhorting, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, tongues, interpretation, serving, ministration helps, hospitality, giving, government ruling, spiritual gift. This is her listing now. This is her listing, y'all. Yeah. Government ruling, showing mercy, faith, discernment, miracles, and healing. Signifying miracles, healing, tongues, and interpretation. Just sign, yeah, the gifts are signed, y'all. Larry Gilbert offers a listing and simplified classification. In team ministry, miraculous gifts, which apostles, tongue, interpretation, miracles, and healing. Enabling gifts, faith, discernment, wisdom, and knowledge. In team gifts, evangelism, prophecy, teaching, and exhortation. People are pastor shepherd, showing mercy, serving, giving, administration, which are further divided into two groups, speaking and ministering. J.W. McGorman in The Gifts of the Spirit shares the division offered by several others, plus his own pertaining to the nine gifts enumerated by Paul in 1 Corinthians. G.G. Finlay suggests a threefold division. These are men's interpretation. People, when we read the Bible in context, it tells us, just like the sign gifts, all this. The church was being established.
That's right.
Jesus was leaving no doubt. Leaving no doubt of who he was then. That was a need that in. What need do we have for prophecy in the canon has been closed?
No, there's no need.
What need we have for new revelation? and the canon been closed. We don't want to believe what's already been revealed. And looking for some new?
Yeah. Ain't no prophet direct your life. Your life is being directed by the Spirit of God.
That's it. That's it. That's it.
You got the Word of God. If you want to know anything about your future, you need to go to God and the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit leads you and guides you. But it's a good con game. It's real good.
Well, I already know. See, and then you got to be satisfied with that. I know about my future.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
when I'm done here, I go be with it. That's enough. That's enough. What else matters? What else matters? Why do it matter about I'm going to get a house that's going to burn up? Or I'm going to get a car that's going to burn up? Make sure that your soul is anchored, people. And let that be enough.
Sure. And most of these prophets, so-called prophets, it's all about material things.
Always.
They cater to the greed of the people. Your greed and your lust is what they cater to. You know, and they making a killing. They making a good living off of promising you that you're going to get material things. Why do we care about material things? Why do we care about that?
And it works everywhere, people. It's people in third world countries.
Africa.
Giving away what they don't have to get what they can't obtain. Right now.
Well, most of your millionaire, billionaire preachers are in Africa.
That's right.
Not in the United States.
That's right.
Not in Copeland and all these guys.
No.
Africa, but these people never had anything, and now they've heard this, God's going to give you this and give you that, so they trade what they do have to get what they hope
think
they.
And now, how can we be so mad still about slavery when God put us in a place where the gospel was preached?
True God.
Openly. Openly. That's the deficit that they have over there now. That free-ranging gospel has never been over there.
No.
Has never. It was witch doctors and bones through nose.
Right.
All that stuff over there.
From that to prosperity.
To prosperity. Salvation.
Well, what you just read just a minute ago and what we just read, it is showing you right now that man expressing his own opinion.
Oh, absolutely. Man do that.
Man expressing his own opinion, mm-hmm. But... like I just said, and I said earlier, by our faith and by the body of Christ and by this church, you know, and that's what keep our faith and keep us strong and keep us standing strong and keep us on tap with the Lord.
That is the Word of God, bro. As long as the Word of God is first and foremost.
Opinion, look at this opinion now. Hey, it would destroy you if you let it destroy you.
Yeah, well, we gotta test everything by the Word of God. By the Word of God. When the Word of God, when anybody, any brother or sister in Christ is speaking what the Word of God say, you got my undivided attention. Period, point blank. But as soon as you veer off that path of what the Word of God say, then you just lost me. That's just the way we are commanded to live our life, to walk this walk. Test everything against what God has, not what we think God may say.
Everything.
Now, what would Jesus do? Read the book. Right. Read the book. What did he tell you to do?
Amen.
What did he do? It says we got a complete manual on what Jesus do, and not only that, what he expects of us.
Mm-hmm.
Of us. So let's do that, y'all. I'm quit looking for this new stuff.
Amen.
All right. At the top of page 99, that said the Spirit working through the mind. Word of wisdom and word of knowledge. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, y'all. When they say Spirit, don't take for granted that's what they're talking about.
All right.
So there's a lot of spirits operating out here now, y'all. A lot of them. I was telling Pastor yesterday, me and Milk, the guy next door, we was riding through Kingston Projects yesterday while I was down working at the church. And babies, little babies, the oldest one may have been 4 years old. It was a pickup truck parked on the corner right there. We ain't see nobody in the truck. We turn the corner to go by. Four or five of them pop up out the back of the truck with toy guns. Pow, 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 pow. Shot us down all the way up the street. Gun, I said, Mill, we just got gunned down by a bunch of babies, right? But they doing what they see. That spirit, it just overshadows that violent spirit. And you see it in, I thought one little baby had a rifle, a toy rifle. He dragging a rifle. He can't even hold it up. He got on a pamper and dragging in Kingston Project right over here. I said, now that spirit is just covered. That spirit of violence and disarray is just all over this area. Yeah, they popped up out the truck and gunned us down. Come by. With toy guns. You can tell they got new Christmas guns, all of them. They jumped straight up. And I said, Milt, you see that? We just got guns. Hey, if it was the book, Pastor, he was using it as a gun. He was pow, pow, pow. You can't mistake that. But I'm telling you, that's the spirit. The spirits permeate certain areas. That area has been violent for a long time.
Long time.
Long time. And it's still there. There you go. But y'all had some yellow handle cases though then.
Yeah, it's still there,
permeating that area. Amen. All right, number two, said the spirit working in distinction from the mind. Mm-hmm. Faith, healing, powers, prophecy, and discerning the spirit. Mm-hmm. Said the spirit working in suppression of the mind. Supersession of the mind. Said kinds of tongues and interpreting of tongues. And that's a spiritual thing now, y'all. That's truly a spiritual thing. You're gonna be hard pressed to find any two that sound anything similar. It just depends on who's speaking it. And why do we want that to be so spiritual in this day and time when the gospel will do?
That's right.
When the simple gospel will do.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, that's the only thing that's gonna do is the gospel. But we've taken it totally somewhere else. It's man wanting to be lifted up. Wanting to be lifted up. J.W. McGoran presents a fourfold division. The gifts of intelligible utterance. What is that? Wisdom, knowledge, and prophecy. The gifts of power. Faith, healing, and working of miracles. The gift of spiritual discernment. The gift of ecstatic utterance. Glossolalia, and its interpretation. Who gonna interpret it? Now, it's nothing for a man to write something down and say, this means this. Then somebody can learn it or whatever. But that don't mean it came from that Holy Spirit of God, y'all.
Well, I can interpret what you just said.
Go ahead, give it to me.
The Lord says you got $100 in your pocket and you need to give it to me.
Can anybody interpret that? That can't be interpreted, Pastor. You're going to have to validate that. Based on the extensive study of the gifts and the various schemes of listing listing proposed for the purpose of life-lift experience, the following categories are cited. Special gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teachers, celibacy for the purpose of equipping God's people. Speaking gifts, exhortation, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, speaking for the purpose of explaining God's truth.
That's right. That's your future.
No. If you're speaking for that purpose, you're well within the line of scripture. Serving gifts, shepherding, serving, helps, leadership, administration, giving, showing mercy, discerning of spirits, faith, hospitality for the purpose of expressing God's love.
Yeah.
It's all about God, y'all. It's all about Him. Sign gift, tongues, interpretation of tongues, miracles, healing for the purpose of establishing God's authority. I've not even seen or heard of tongues being used in the modern time, being used truly for the uplifting of God's kingdom. I'm not trying to say whether it's real or fake or whatever, but I've not seen it used in a situation where it brought folk to Christ.
But, you know, you just got to take it at face value. In Jerusalem, you had people from all over.
Absolutely. It was a purpose.
People speaking all kind of languages, and that's why the gift of tongues manifested.
That's what made it so miraculous.
So the people could understand what was being presented to them. Now, Paul did say he spoke in tongues more than anyone after Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
He did say that. But now, Paul was a missionary. Paul was going into all
different languages. Yeah.
He had to have the gift of tongues.
Right.
But there is no need. There's no need in America for nobody to be speaking no tongues. Zero. Nobody. Now, unless God sent you into a remote part of a place that you know where they don't speak English, and then God can do what he want to do.
Yeah.
But now, there's no need of anybody up in here speaking on tongues. Yeah. We still trying to learn how to speak English. That's right. We ain't mastered the English language yet. We don't need no tongues right now. We need to master the English language.
That's right. That's right. And you know, with technology and all that today, you get someone who don't speak your language here, you can say into your phone what you want to say, and it'll tell them. It'll tell them. Well, you know, so what we're saying is there was a need for tongues during Pentecost, during that time period.
Yeah, yeah. What we've been saying here, what the Lord has been showing us, and will show us in this series of message, you got to take self out of it.
That absolutely, all the way.
See, all this is glorifying self. Yeah. That's the culprit right there that keeps a lot of us from growing in the Lord.
That's right.
Too much self. Of us.
Too much
and
self.
And not enough God.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Absolutely. All right. So sometimes charts as follows can be helpful tools to assist understanding the fit of the various gifts and passages. Now they got these charts here on the next couple of pages, and the scriptures that's dealing with is what really caught my mind when I first looked at it, and you can get some clarity on what the Bible is talking about when you read it in context. In context. Don't let somebody just throw a scripture in to feel or to validate what they're saying. Go back.
Get the whole thing.
Check the context of that. See when that scripture was said and what it was pertaining to. Then you'll get God's heart on why he brought that forth and why he felt necessary to record it in this canon, in scripture. And that's how we can make the word applicable in our life. In our life, if that's not the situation we're talking about, it ain't got to be identical, but it's got to be in context. If it's not in context, you making your own thing up there.
Yes.
I want to say this to y'all. Thank God for being in the body of Christ and being in Christ and growing us in Christ. Because a long time ago, you could have just jumped up and tongues come out of the church. And all of them said they know this, they know what you were saying. But hey, if people looked at you, hey, they didn't really, the church was confused and lost.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to be the first one to say, thank God for good commission, because you know, the body of Christ is growing in us. Mm-hmm. And hey, we do understand that it is something supernatural that guides us and leads us and guiding us. And a lot of churches, when you do this in them churches, I'm not
church.
You playing church?
Well, that's what it is. And that's God said, let that go on. He said, let it go on. Don't you try to fix it? He said, I do the separating when I come, because there may be some we run out of here that God sent in here. You see what I'm saying? It may we let him do the separating. We let him. He did the saving. I couldn't save me. I didn't want to save me. I wasn't lost. If you ask me. So why not depend on God to do the rest of the work? What he started, he gonna finish. I can't depend on me now. I didn't depend on me to save me. So why now? Amen. We gonna go over this, a little bit of this chart on next week. We'll pick up right here, y'all, because it's going to take a little bit of breaking down. And we're dealing with speaking gifts and speaking in tongues and these things here. So we don't want to rush through it, but we'll pick up right there. Put your mark on page 100, and we'll start with that little chart and then jump into the next chapter.
Now, let me say this here before we close up, Tony. You know, you can organize. You be so organized. Like a lot of the big churches, black guy was telling me, he said, well, you know, if a homeless person comes in our church, we don't just tell them he needs to go to Red Cross. That's our organizational structure. That's the way we got things set up. But now, you can be turning the guy away that God wants you to do something right then. Right. But they're going to hold to their organization is that we donate to the Red Cross, and therefore you need to go to the Red Cross. But the man got a need right then. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you can be so organized until you can just completely get away from meeting your spiritual needs.
That's right. That's right. That's absolutely right. And then that, you know, that is strictly business right there when you can do something like that. You know, you turning away who God sent, you're going to have to answer for these things, people. Do we really believe that one day we all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ? Do we truly believe that? Because I think if we do, it will change how we function, how we do things, especially how we treat people. And then he didn't use the whole parable about not seeing them thirsty, not getting them drink, seeing them hungry. And he told us it was the least of his. That when you do this to the least of these, my brother. What did I say, man? Well, you go on that, Pastor. And, I want to be there. I want to be there. You know, I know you're going to have to stand by yourself, but I'm going to see if I can put a bug in your little meeting. I want to hear how that work out for you. but we know people that we must do it God's way. There's no two ways about it. Whether we agree with it or not, we know it's his way. We know what it is. Therefore, just do it. And like I said, the only reason you wouldn't, Pastor just mentioned a minute ago, too much you in it. Too much me in it. That's always the deterrent. That's always the holdback. Too much you. Too much me. My, I. Asceticism. That's absolutely right. But we'll pick up right there, y'all, next week and jump back into it. We coming close to the end. We ain't got no time limit on it, because My big brother already told me don't be rushing through nothing, so. But page 100, where we'll pick up at, y'all. Get the Lord a hand. Get the Lord a hand.